Super Bowl Sunday is this weekend and marks the biggest event in sports. Last year, about 112 million people tuned into the game, and the year before that, a record number of 114 million watched. Those numbers have caught the eyes of advertisers over the years, making the Super Bowl not just the biggest event in sports, but the biggest television event of the year. So much so that advertisers are taking out ads to advertise, well, their Super Bowl ads. To tell us more is EJ Schultz. He's on the line with us from Chicago. He's the Bureau Chief for Advertising Age. EJ, thanks for joining us on the 21st.
Great to be here.
So we see more than 100 million people tuning into the Super Bowl in recent years. Is there a better audience for advertisers out there, or is the Super Bowl still really it?
This is still really it, in my view. There's really nothing else that comes close.
And so how much are companies paying for ads this year?
Right now, the estimates are around $5 million for 30 seconds of airtime. That, of course, does not include, you know, what it costs to produce the ads. And as you mentioned, they're spending a lot of money to promote the ads ahead of time. So the total investment is quite large.
And so when you're thinking about that investment, what percentage of ad budgets is this sort of the big, like when we think about companies and ad budgets, how much goes to just the Super Bowl versus other things?
Well, obviously, it depends on the size of the brand. You know, a brand like Pepsi is going to spend many millions throughout the course of the year. But there are some brands that have smaller budgets, and they make the tactical decision to spend a huge percent of that on a Super Bowl ad in some years. And they feel that it's really, if they're going to make a big statement, it's worth it to do it all at once and to get that exposure that they cannot get throughout the rest of the year.
Right. And I think I'm thinking of some brands that's paid off for, right? Like I'm thinking of GoDaddy. I feel like they kind of made a big splash. Are there brands that it doesn't work for? Like, do we have a sense of what percentage of time it works, or is there data on that?
I think it works for anyone who can do it well. And a really good Super Bowl ad can go a long way. But then the flip side of that is a really bad one can actually cause damage, and you can actually you can put your brand in some harm. So it's sort of a risky proposition, but by the same token, you don't want to play it safe, because why spend a bunch of money on a boring ad, right? That's not even going to get noticed.
Right. And that's the thing. Do you feel like the ante keeps getting upped every year for kind of more and more weird or outrageous ads? Like, I feel like Doritos just tries to get weirder every year with their, I mean, I guess it's their demographic, right? They're going for young guys who think it's funny.
Right. Although, speaking of Doritos, they are not actually going to be in this year's game.
Oh, okay.
They ended their Crash the Super Bowl contest last year, and they just decided not to advertise at all in this year's game. And that contest was actually, you know, they fielded ads from anyone who wanted to submit them, so they were not done by traditional ad agencies. But yes, you're right. I mean, I think, you know, we've become pretty desensitized as a society
right.
to the weird. So you got to keep upping the ante to really stand out, especially what's going on in real life these days. I mean, it doesn't get much weirder than that.
Well, and when we think about that, EJ, I wonder what are the kind of themes, and there tend to sort of be common themes that go along with the current time period. What have you seen so far this year?
I feel like everyone is trying to read in some kind of political view into these ads. But the ones I've seen so far, to be honest, have been pretty lighthearted. The majority of them are still trying to kind of get a laugh. I mean, there are some serious ones, and there are a couple that people are trying to suggest that it's a reflection of the political climate. You know, Budweiser is getting some attention for an advertisement that they released a couple of days ago that tells basically the story of the brand, which is created by a immigrant from Germany who came over here. And a lot of people are trying to read into that some larger comment on, you know, the political situation. You know, Anheuser-Busch has said that's not the case. We're not trying to make a political statement. But knowing that basically everything is political today, I mean, you're going to have people that view it in that lens.
Yeah, and EJ, actually, let me stop you for a second, because we actually have a clip of that. So let's, as you kind of set it up really nicely, so let's hear just a little bit of it, and then we can keep talking about it.
You don't look like you're from around here.
Welcome to America.
You're not wanted here.
Welcome to St. Louis, son.
And so that's part of it. EJ, you were starting to talk about it. A commercial goes on to show how, as you're saying, this German immigrant went on to become the founder of one of the biggest beer companies in the U.S. And let me ask, I imagine the time frame for this ad must have been created, what, 3 months ago, 6 months ago, certainly before the events of the past couple of weeks.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been in the works for quite some time. You know, obviously it was probably, the concept had many months ago. You know, they're always fine-tuning the production and the final edits and things like that. But the basic idea has been in the works for a while. What Budweiser says is they're, you know, just trying to tap into the American dream, essentially, which is, there's obviously this country has a history of people coming from other countries and starting businesses and thriving and overcoming obstacles. And that's essentially what the ad is saying.
Right. And it's interesting that, I mean, it's certainly that's the story of the American dream 6 months ago. I don't think anyone would have thought that would have been a political conversation, but it's certainly become one in the past couple of weeks with President Trump's executive orders on immigration. I feel like it's made that notion a political one. And I guess for Budweiser, they've just sort of made the calculation of, look, this is something we don't think this is political. This is part of America's story. And so we're going to go with the ad. Is that kind of what you're thinking, EJ?
That's right. And from the people that I talked to close to the campaign, I mean, obviously all these brands monitor the kind of reaction they're getting. And I'm getting the feeling they're still feeling pretty good about it, that, yeah, there might be some negative comments, but on the whole, they're still feeling pretty good about it.
Well, and in a case like this with a company like Budweiser, certainly they know their customers, they know their brand, they know what kind of brand loyalty they have, right? So I assume that companies like this are kind of making a very calculated decision whether or not they're going to air something.
That's right. And I think that we've seen a trend in recent years, especially in the alcohol category, of brands really trying to kind of tell their heritage story. And so I think that really is what they're trying to do here. But I think that anytime you drop something into the world these days, it's going to be looked at as some people, you know, want to look at it no matter what.
Mm-hmm. So do people still watch the Super Bowl just to see the ads? I know there's a significant portion, not significant, but there's a portion of the population that just does that. Or does everybody just kind of expect they're going to be on social media? You could just watch them on YouTube later. How's that working?
I still feel it's appointment television. I think, you know, it's the one TV event of the year. I mean, maybe the Oscars too, that people gather with their friends and family to watch TV. I mean, that doesn't really happen a lot anymore. It's not like the old days, right, when we'd all sit around and watch our favorite sitcoms together or our favorite dramas together.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are all obviously you can find on demand. But with sporting events, you know, the fact that they're live, it still drives pretty huge ratings. So I think that there are still big chunk of people that do watch it just for the cultural aspect, and that cultural aspect does include advertising.
So there was an ad about banned substances that was rejected by the NFL. What happened with that ad?
I think you're referring to GNC. They said that Fox rejected the advertisement because the retailer apparently has some products that the NFL itself has banned. So they were told they couldn't run their ad.
Okay. Well, regardless, is there anything in particular we should be looking out for this weekend, EJ, in terms of what might be the most fun or favorite ad?
Yeah, there was one that dropped this morning by Honda that I thought was really well done and interesting and charming and funny. It's there's 9 celebrities in it. And what they did is they went back and collected the old high school yearbook photos of these celebrities, people like Tina Fey, Steve Carell, Jimmy Kimmel, and they made it appear as if their old yearbook photo was coming to life. So they're sort of picture their yearbook photo talking, right? And I think that one's going to get a lot of attention. It's just because it's visually pretty cool and it was really well done.
And there's a rumor, it's not an ad, but is the Star Wars trailer rumored to be dropped during the Super Bowl?
I cannot confirm that. I haven't watched that one that closely.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll say thanks for joining us. EJ Schultz is a Chicago Bureau Chief of Advertising Age on the ads coming up this weekend for Super Bowl Sunday. Thanks, EJ.
Thank you.
We're out of time for today. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to be talking about a new book called Specters of Revolt. It's by a Springfield professor at University of Illinois Springfield. We're going to be talking about revolution. It doesn't always look like 1968, the Arab Spring uprisings, or uprisings in Baltimore and Ferguson. So tune in for that conversation tomorrow. You can always find more information at our website, www.21stshow.org. I'm Nyla Boodoo. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening.